The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before.
This great nation will endure as it has endured. Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you.
We're not, as some would have us believe, doomed to an inevitable decline. I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring.
As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it, now or ever. We are Americans.
This is Always Right Radio on AM 1420, The Answer. Here's your host, Bob France.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. 9 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and we are underway on this 16th morning of the 12th month of the year of our Lord 2022. And you know what this is, don't you? It's a free-for-all Friday! Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Scream. Way to get us off on the right foot this morning. We've got a lot of things to talk about today. Coming up in about in a little more than an hour. It's about 10:35. We're going to talk to Christina Hagen, as we always do, on Fridays. Get her thoughts on one of the things her pops did. John Hagen was among the Ohio Board of Education members who voted to turn down the Biden administration's Title IX changes, allowing boys to say that they're girls and thus lifting the protections of girls by Title IX. We're going to talk a little bit about that with her, among a host of other things. At 10:10, John Stover, our good friend from the Ohio Valley Voters Organization, is going to be joining us as well. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the failure of 178. We'll talk about some of the other legislation in Ohio that is being followed very closely. We're going to talk about the state of the schools and so much more. So we really do have a lot to get into today with our guests, but we have a lot of time, too, for you at 216-901-0945. Take full advantage of the free-for-all nature of this show today. Anything that you want to talk about that we have been discussing over the last week, anything we haven't discussed over the last week that we should have, you name it, we'll talk about it. I don't care what it is. That's the beauty of Free for All Friday. I've got a major announcement I'm going to make right after our Pledge of Allegiance. So I'm going to ask you to make sure you're paying attention for this one. It's a big one. I've made a very big decision. I have decided to reverse course on something I've been very staunch about over the course of the last 2.5 years. I'm going to do something, I'm going to take something, and I've got good reasoning for it. And I'll explain what it is after we rise as patriots and face the flags near us. Raise your flag if you would. Put your hand on your heart and join us for our pledge. If you are a believer in the Biden administration, if you believe that being protective of children from bodily mutilation by quote-unquote doctors at the behest of groomers. And if you believe that that is an example, opposing that as an example of white supremacy, as the Biden administration and the far-left nuts in the squad do, well, you don't really have any idea what that flag is. You are therefore exempt from the request to stand and pledge your allegiance to it. Instead, you may take a knee next to your favorite ex-quarterback. As for the rest of us,
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
13 minutes after the hour, friends. Thank you so very much for being with us. I've come to a very, very important decision. For 2.5 years now, I have resisted the calls, the pleas, the mandates in some cases, to take the jab, to take the shot. I have been steadfast in my refusal for a number of reasons, the most important of which has been science. And, you know, perhaps secondarily, fear, because we don't know what the long-term effects of the jab are going to be. We don't know what the, 3, 5, 10-year side effects are going to be. When this type of vaccine is usually developed, it is something that has to be studied for a long period of time on humans volunteering for these trials. And we see what the short-term effects are, and we have seen a ton of those, a lot of adverse events. And we have seen some very serious adverse events as well. We have seen deaths that are sometimes inexplicable, otherwise fully healthy people in the prime of their lives getting jabbed and then dropping dead. We've seen a lot of those things. We have not seen the long-term study because, well, long-term of time hasn't passed yet, which is why we said this cannot be mandated. You cannot force people who work for the government, as Joe Biden did. You cannot force people who work for the military, as Lloyd Austin did. You can't force them, if you're a student, to get onto your college campuses. You can't force people to take these jabs when the outcome and the long-term ramifications, impacts, adverse events, etc., side effects, if you will, are unknown. So I've had a big problem with that from the very beginning. But I've had a change of heart, not necessarily about the mandate part. This still needs to be free. This still needs to be a free country, and everybody has the right to make up their own mind. And I've made up my mind. I've decided I'm going to go ahead and take the jab. But it's not because I'm afraid of getting COVID. It's not because I'm afraid of getting sick. I've decided, after much thought and consternation and deep research, I have decided that it's best to take the jab so that I don't get into a traffic accident. I don't want to get into a traffic accident and potentially hurt myself or hurt others. And thanks to the phenomenal research that is being done into this area right now, we've come to learn that people who don't have shots, people who have not yet been vaccinated against COVID-19, are much more likely to get into traffic accidents. This is a real study. It was in the American Journal of Medicine. I don't want to get into a traffic accident. I don't know about you. I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't want to lose a leg. This is terrifying. Did you know that getting a shot in your arm will prevent you from getting into traffic accidents? This is according to the American Journal of Medicine, citing Canadian researchers. I don't want to get into an accident. I've been in accidents. They're no fun. I've had family members get into car accidents. Concussions have happened. Worse has happened. And if I can avoid a car crash by getting a shot, by taking the poison dart, well, I think I owe it to myself and every other driver on the road to make sure that I don't get into a traffic accident. Take the jab. The findings of the new study published this month in the American Journal of Medicine show that during the summer of 2021, Canadian research examined the encrypted government-held records of more than 11 million of adults, 16% of whom had not received the COVID jab. They found that the unvaccinated people were 72% more likely to be involved in a severe traffic accident in which at least one person was transported to the hospital than those who were vaccinated. See, didn't you get the memo from Dr. Fauci? Taking the jab is like a coat of armor. It stops you from being wounded in accidents. It stops you from being hospitalized due to traffic accidents. It stops you from getting into accidents in the first place. This is similar to the increased risk of car crashes for people with sleep apnea, though only about half of the people who abuse about half that of people who abuse alcohol, according to researchers. The excess risk of car crashes posed by unvaccinated drivers exceeds the safety gains from modern automobile engineering devices and also imposes risks on other road users. In other words, they can't make cars safe enough to protect you from severe injury and hospitalization in a traffic accident if you're unvaccinated. Why, according to the researchers, are people who are unvaccinated much more likely to get into accidents and to go to the hospital as a result? Well, because the authors of the study believe that people who would be too stupid to take the jab are also too stupid to follow the safety road guidelines. Why would they ignore the rules of the road, they ask? Well, because distrust of the government. The same reason they would not want to take a jab. If you don't trust the government to tell you what's in the jab and whether or not the government is giving you something that will be good for you or harmful for you, well, then the government might be lying about those road signs, too, about those speed limits, about those yellow lines that divide lanes. The government might be lying about all of it. And if you don't trust the jab, you probably don't trust the rules of the road either. Those who refuse the jab tend to believe that it is their right and their freedom. It is their freedom that is at stake if they submit to something the government demands that they take. And a basic belief in freedom like that means you should also practice your freedom when driving. I can go on either side of the road. I can go as fast as I want. I can go on the off-ramp or off the on-ramp. I can go wherever I want because it's a free country. People who don't take the jab have misconceptions of daily risks. They have faith in natural immunity, and if you have faith in natural immunity and your body's ability to fight off infection from something like COVID-19, and if you think your body can do that naturally better than the government can do it with messenger RNA spike proteins to screw with your immune system for the rest of your life, if you believe in natural immunity, then you probably believe that if you get into a head-on collision with somebody, you're going to be fine. Faith in natural protection. Antipathy toward regulations. Personal beliefs against the government are what lead people to drive like maniacs and get into traffic accidents and to become hospitalized. Did I mention this is not an Onion article nor a Babylon Bee article? This was a study published in the American Journal of Medicine. They're serious. The findings are significant enough that primary care doctors should consider counseling unvaccinated patients on traffic safety. Insurance companies might base changes to insurance policy premiums on vaccination data, according to the authors in the American Journal of Medicine. Insurance companies should base premiums on car insurance based on whether or not you have taken the dart. First responders might also consider taking precautions to protect themselves from COVID when responding to traffic crashes, because it's more likely that a driver is unvaccinated than vaccinated, because that's why they got into an accident, you know. They're radicals. and they're more likely to be unvaccinated. And so when you're a first responder and you're huddled over that weeping, trembling mass of humanity laying on the ground next to the crash that they caused, chances are you're going to get infected from their non-vaccinated bodies, from their COVID. The findings suggest that unvaccinated adults need to be careful indoors with other people and outside with surrounding traffic, the authors concluded. This isn't the first time researchers have examined the link between behavior and vaccination status. Among young adults, a 2021 study published in the Journal of Bioeconomics found a correlation between self-reported risky driving and having skipped their flu vaccines. It examined the survey responses of more than 100,000 Canadians. You see, if you skip that flu shot, we know what kind of a nut you are on the roads. So there it is. Canadian researchers publishing the findings in the American Journal of Medicine. It's all science, you see. You take the jab or you die on the highway. All right? That's the reality here. Unvaccinated people are 72% more likely to be involved in a severe traffic crash with at least one person being transported to a hospital than those who were vaccinated. 72% more. You see, it's science. So I'm not playing games anymore. I'm not going to fight this fight. I know when I'm beat. I know when I'm licked. And I'll tell you what. They finally got me after 2.5 years of being steadfast in my refusal to take the jab because of my own immune system, because of my belief that these mRNA vaccines are very, very dangerous and could have long-lasting side effects, could have lethal side effects. My fight is over. I'm not afraid of COVID. I'm not afraid of the virus. I'm not afraid of the respiratory illness. I'm not afraid of any of it, but damn it, I don't want to get into a car accident. Bring the jab on. 924, Always Right Radio, right back. I posted on my Facebook page right before we came on the air what I said to you just now. I've decided to take the shot, not because I'm afraid of getting sick. I just don't want to get into a traffic accident. The responses are hilarious. People were just all in on it, going, oh, my gosh, I'm never getting the shots. I need more proof these guys aren't just dying because of the shot. I had people really thinking I'm going to go get their shot now because of this. It's called a spoof. It's a little parody. It was a little bit of a... But the story is not parody. That's what's funny about it. The reason I did it the way that I did it is because this is real. This is not a Babylon Bee article. It could be. It should be. But this is reality. This article and this study exist in the American Journal of Medicine, where they tell you that you are more likely to get into a serious car crash if you are not vaccinated than you are if you are vaccinated. It is simply astounding. But people are tripping out right now on social media. Follow me on social media, on Facebook. Just find my name. Do a friend request. I've got a few spots left on that right now. I'm going to get a new public page up there soon. I took the last one down because I didn't like the way it was going for a variety of reasons. But also on Twitter at France Rants, FRANTZRANTZ, France Rants on Twitter, so that we can kind of stay informed. But this is some of the stuff that I have on Twitter right now, and it is not a joke. It is serious. Now, having said that, let's talk about a couple of things that are jokes that we're going to talk about after the bottom of the hour news. Representative Cori Bush, one of the squad members, one of the low IQ, shallow thinking, race baiting, hate filled squad members, blasted at committee hearings yesterday, blasted Republicans as white supremacists and hate mongers because they don't want children to be mutilated by doctors. Not kidding. That's what she said. I will share that story with you. If you are concerned with what your kids are learning in school, and you better be if you're paying any attention whatsoever, and especially if they get to an institution of higher learning, I've got a great story for you coming up after the bottom of the hour news as well. A professor named Peter Bogosian is teaching, quote, forbidden classes, end quote, at a truth-seeking university. A brand new university that was founded just 1 year ago. It's in Austin, Texas. It's the University of Austin. They've raised $100 million to launch. And they are calling the University of Austin a free speech college. Hasn't even broken ground yet. They haven't even put the buildings up yet. But they're offering the classes online. And they are going to try to break through the stranglehold of left-wing censorship on college campuses. Free speech classes, forbidden classes, truth-seeking University of Austin. I'm going to let you hear from the founder of this organization coming up after the bottom of the hour as well. So stay right here on Always Right Radio News Now, AM 1420, The Answer.
Keeping you informed among the uninformed. Always Right Radio with Bob Frantz on The Answer.
Okay, 9:37. It is a free for all Friday, so anything you want to talk about is fair game. 216-901-0945 and 888-281-1110.
You know the thing.
Yeah, whatever thing you want to talk about is good to go. Let's just do it. Just make sure that you're not...
You bigoted, moronic, leftist, elite, lying sacks of crap. You
probably don't want to do that. Don't want to be one of those and call this radio program. It won't go well. 216-901-0945, 888-281-1110. Just make sure that at the end of the phone call, I'm not saying this.
What did this idiot just say?
Yeah, you don't want to be that either. So, I'm having fun with the soundboard. That's what you do on Fridays. You have a little bit of fun with the soundboard. By the way, when you hang up the call, make sure that I'm not saying this.
Everything that guy just says is bullshit.
Yeah, so you want to make sure you're a little bit better than that. I'm in the mood today. I really am. Mark in Fairview Park. By the way, anybody wants to hear the poem that I did last night at the Ohioans Defending Freedom Christmas Party? I wrote a new Christmas epic, 'Twas the Night Before Congress. They asked me to give a speech yesterday, and I didn't really feel like writing a speech, so I wrote a poem instead. And I read it last night, and now all I'm getting is, can I have a copy of that? Can I have a copy of that? Will you post that? Will you post that? If you want me to post that, or if you want me to read it on the air, I suppose I could, but you have to let me know, because I will bow to popular demand. I will bow to the will of the people. Mark in Fairview Park. Hey, Mark, you're on the air. Go right ahead, sir.
Thanks, Bob. Hey, I called in about since you're talking about getting the jab. And I found a report February 1st, 2022 from John Hopkins about how they could unintentionally give you the vaccination through the PCR tests. And what it does is it's based off of a worm or a parasite that can get into your intestines, it latches on. And what it does is once the body temperature hits it, it releases whatever agent into your system.
So you're saying on the cotton swab that they jam up your nose to test for COVID, they actually have the virus, or excuse me, the mRNA on the swab.
Correct. And these little robots, whatever you want to call them, they're called Theragrippers. They're like the size of a dust particle. So, but it's on the website is on the cosmicworld.site.
Okay.
And it's a John Hopkins report.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I appreciate the heads up on it, my friend. Thank you, Mark, for the phone call. That would be something. I would have to think that would be something that is more actionable than anything I've ever heard. It's one thing to tell people to take a jab and lie to them and tell them that it's effective, lie to them, say that there are no side effects, lie to them and tell them that it's really, you know, there's nothing in here that can harm you and all the things that they've done, because that's forcing people to take something without informed consent. And by law, there has to be informed consent. And they're breaking the law every day when they say, take this. But at the end of the day, it's through their encouragement of you that you take this. You understand? It's still your choice. If you don't want to take, now, we all know a lot of people made that choice. They got booted from the military, or they got, they lost their jobs with their federal contractors who work for the federal government. There are a lot of people who had mandates who didn't take the shots, but it was, you know, and they lost their jobs. And that is illegal, too, but it's still the choice if you take the jab, even if it's under threat of some other kind of a punishment or not. You still have the choice. If they're jamming the stuff up your nose that they're sticking into your arm with a needle, I would say two things in response. One, now it's not even a choice. Now there cannot even be informed consent. If you're doing it and somebody dies as a result of the shot, which we know a lot of people are dying, if the result of the mRNA is killing somebody through the shot, it can also kill somebody through the nose thing that you're talking about. And I would imagine if anybody suffered any, if you got a blood clot, myocarditis, palsy, so many of the other things that are, you know, affecting people with the mRNA vaccines or mRNA shots, the the genetic therapy or gene therapy, if they can suffer those things with the shot, they can suffer them through that nose thing. And so if they're doing that, again, without people knowing, and if they think they're just taking a COVID test and not a COVID mRNA treatment, I would imagine the actionability there is through the roof. The civil liability would be just through the roof. All protections would be gone. You know how Pfizer and Moderna have immunity from any liability whatsoever if you take the shot that they put out. But that's because you're choosing to take the shot. If you don't choose and they intentionally give it to you by way of this, I think all of that liability protection goes away. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but that's just what I would suspect. The second response I would have is simply this. If it was possible to give people the medication or the quote-unquote mRNA vaccine, if it was possible to do it without doing an injection, why haven't they been doing it all along? Why haven't they offered that? Why haven't they said, yeah, you don't even have to take the shot and deal with the infection side effects at the injection site. You don't have to do it at all. We can give you the shot. We can give you the medication through the nose. I'm just kind of curious why they wouldn't be doing that. I bet it would be a lot easier for a lot of people. So I react to that story with a little bit of skepticism, but I will certainly take it under advisement. Jay is calling us from Elyria on Free For All Friday. Hey, Jay, you're on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. A couple of things for you, Bob. First of all, you had me. I mean, you had me hook, line, and sinker. I thought what was going to come out of your mouth is you've decided to step up and replace that woman for Blystone's defense. Or you were going to support Buttigieg for president. I thought it was going to be something, you know, minor like that. But, boy, when you talk about the science behind traffic accidents in the shot, I was absolutely, it's like, okay, I'm following Bob, man. This must be really real.
You got to get
it now. You had me all the way. Secondly. Well,
thank you. Thank you. Go ahead.
Donald's playing cards. That was not the announcement yesterday. It was a very succinct. It was.
JJJ, don't do that, okay. And don't fall for that. A lot of people are falling for that. President Trump embarrassed the hell out of himself yesterday. On Wednesday, he ran the ad on his Truth Social, which I played for you, and I actually uploaded to my social accounts. But he ran the ad of superhero Trump in the animated superhero costume with the big T and said, major announcement coming tomorrow. Then the next day, yesterday, he released the NFT of those Trump superhero cards. It literally was the major announcement. That's why he teased it with, we need a superhero, and here's Super Trump. It was. The blowback was so enormous yesterday morning and early afternoon. The blowback was incredible because he embarrassed himself so much that he's trying to sell $99 trading cards. And you don't even get a trading card. I found out. You get a certificate saying you have one of these trading cards. But the blowback was so bad, then he went ahead and released a 5-minute video saying, I love free speech. When I'm president again, we're going to really crack down on those who crack down on free speech. It was a nothing statement. There was nothing to it. But it was, and then it allowed people to then say, oh, that was the major announcement. President Trump really likes free speech. He did that to cover the embarrassment of the release of the NFT that just was humiliating. It was humiliating.
Okay, I'll take your ridiculous word on thing. That. I didn't see that until about 11:20, 11:25 last evening. And that's the only part that I saw. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's all over. It's all over the internet, and Trump sycophants are literally saying, "Oh, you rhinos bought it, and you left wingers bought it, and the media bought it." He did have a major announcement, and his major announcement was he really loves free speech, and when he's president again, they're going to crack down and fire anybody in the government who's censoring speech. It was just. Jay, it was just so nothing. It was such an after-the-fact statement that, by the way, again, I already knew he loved free speech. President Trump did a phenomenal job of promoting free speech when he was already president. The statement that was made there was nothing. And the reason we know that wasn't the quote-unquote major announcement comes from the actual video he and his team created promoting the major announcement in the same realm of the actual major announcement, which was the cartoon Trump trading cards.
That. Yeah, I have not seen that.
Yeah, if you are you on Facebook? If you can access Facebook, what I'm asking you is if you can access Facebook, just go to look at my page. You'll see both of them. You'll see my post from the announcement from his Truth Social, and then the actual, you know, the promotion of the announcement, and then the actual announcement, and they're both the same. Those were that was the major announcement.
Yeah. And as a parting thing with your regard to your announcement for taking the dart today. I would just like to personally offer you, can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. And just to clarify this for anybody who still doesn't want to believe that President Trump just completely embarrassed himself with this thing, and they're trying to say, no, that wasn't his major announcement. It's literally on his Truth Social that here is my major announcement. Now, I got into it with a couple of people online last night after I got back from my speech. I got into it with people saying, you know, that wasn't a major announcement. The major announcement was Trump gave a little video in which he said he really loves free speech. Well, how is that a major announcement? Hey, really, how would that be a major announcement? And aside from that simple common sense test of whether that was, let's use his own words. I'm reading to you now the Truth Social that President Trump posted on Wednesday. Quote, this is Donald J. Trump, at Real Donald Trump, with his red check mark. This is Donald Trump's Truth Social account. Quote, needs a superhero. I will be making a major announcement tomorrow. Thank you. And then with that statement that he made on his Truth Social was this short video.
America needs a superhero.
And now with the Superman music you hear there, this is the cartoon video of Super Trump. He's pulling his shirt open. He's got the, you know, the muscular chest with the T where Superman's S would be. And he's got X-ray vision, and it's shooting it all over the place like, you know, lasers right out of his eyes. That's literally his announcement of the soup of the announcement for the next day. He said, because then at the end of the music, the screen shows major announcement Thursday, December 15th.
America needs.
Okay, so that was Wednesday. So Thursday, yesterday, we literally got also from President Trump's own Truth Social account the full picture of Super Trump. I described it to you yesterday, in a red bodysuit full of muscles, wearing an American flag as a cape, with a Super Trump T on his chest, 45s on his muscular arms, wearing what looks like a wrestling championship belt that says Trump Champion. It's got an American flag in the middle of that. And then it came with this announcement on Trump's Truth Social, quote, major announcement. My official Donald Trump digital trading card collection is here. These limited edition cards feature amazing art of my life and career. Collect all of your favorite Trump digital trading cards, very much like a baseball card, but hopefully much more exciting. Go to collecttrumpcards.com and get your cards now. Only $99 each would be a great Christmas gift. Don't wait. They will be gone, I believe, very quickly. So Donald Trump promised on Wednesday a major announcement to come on Thursday. Then on Thursday, he said, major announcement. My official Donald Trump digital trading card collection is here. can this be any more clear? I had to explain this to people online last night, because people who were embarrassed by this major announcement, this clown show that this is, people who were embarrassed by it, Trump supporters who were really upset by how bad this looks, needed something. And so a couple of hours later, he releases a video, a 5-minute or so video of him talking about how important free speech is. And that allowed the people who were embarrassed by this to say, well, that wasn't the major announcement. The major announcement was Trump loves free speech. And you see, his love for free speech is going to drive him to doing more things to protect free speech when he becomes president again. That was a major announcement. Not the other thing, not the cartoon thing. That was the major announcement. No. No. Stop. Stop. President Trump released his NFT yesterday to make money on his cartoon images. That's what this is. That was his major announcement. It was just a brilliant marketing ploy, because he said, I've got a major announcement coming. And then he comes up with his major announcement, which literally looks exactly like his promotion of the announcement was, the Super Trump thing. He says, this is my major announcement. It fell flat. People were embarrassed by it, including supporters. And so then he has to come up with something else, and it gives them a chance to say, it was the speech. It was the video, you see. He likes free speech, you see. That was his major announcement. Stop. Sometimes we have to acknowledge and admit that when our favorite politicians screw up, they've screwed up. It doesn't make you a rhino to say so. It doesn't make you a deep stater. It doesn't make you an establishment. It doesn't make you a sellout or a traitor to the Trump cause. Just admit that was an embarrassing display, and his little video saying that I love free speech was not the major announcement. The major announcement was what he said the major announcement was, an NFT promoting Super Trump cards, Super Trump trading cards. We just need to sometimes say, look, sometimes our guy kills it. Sometimes our guy steps in it. Well, guess what he did? He stepped in it. And then he had to try to find a way to cover that mess. And so he released a video saying, I love free speech, and I'm going to do something that is really pro-free speech when I'm president. Again. Just, friends, please, please. And I want to say this again. I am not anti-Trump. If he's our nominee again, I will work myself to the bone to try to get this man elected. But A, he stepped in this. It was an embarrassment. And B, to try to claim that that wasn't his major announcement when it's literally posted on his Truth Social saying, here's my major announcement, is just embarrassing for all of us. Don't do that. Don't do that. We have to be better than that. 9:54, I'll be right back. AM 1420, The Answer. Let's get a call or two more here. Derek is in Richfield. Hello, Derek, you're on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, Bob. Thank you. So Wednesday, you closed the show talking about the Oregon Governor Kate Brown, how she's eliminating the death penalty for, you know, all the lovely, wonderful people on death row there.
As she exits office, by the way. It's the last thing she's doing before she leaves.
So, you know, I just wanted to add to that, just to point out the insanity of the left that, you know, Oregon is one state, I think one of 10, that legalized euthanasia. And, you know, even out-of-state residents could go to Oregon and have a doctor give them a prescription that would end their life. It's amazing. No death penalty for criminals that have committed, you know, the most heinous, atrocious crimes against other people. But euthanasia, totally okay. But of course, didn't they also legalize all hard drugs? So maybe that kind of explains their insanity a little, too.
The last one I knew about the drugs, yes. I did not know that they were one of the states that legalized euthanasia. I did not realize that. And I'm so glad you told me, because it really does. It really does kind of even, you know, provide more of a stark look at the insanity that they have out there. That is a very, very radical place. It's almost like a foreign country.
Yeah, actually, you know, when I looked it up, they legalized euthanasia back in 97.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I know that.
That's hard to believe, and I didn't realize. Thank you, Derek, for the call. Thank you for the information. So, yeah, convicted, hardcore, brutalizing, torturous, murderous criminals, no death penalty for you. Somebody's in a painful situation who doesn't want to live anymore. Come on over. We'll be happy to end your life. That's incredible. Thank you, my friend, for the call. Hour number two next. Or, excuse me, yeah, hour number two. I can count, I promise. Coming up on Always Right Radio.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Welcome to Always Right Radio with Bob Frantz on AM 1420, The Answer.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two underway now, 9 minutes past 10 o'clock. It is the 16th morning of the 12th month of the year of our Lord, 2022. It is also a free-for-all Friday! Come on, Mr. Scream. I can't hold it that long. I need you to jump in there. Appreciate you being with us. We got a lot of good stuff still to talk about. If you missed the opening of the show, my monologue, I told everybody I was taking the jab. I changed my mind after 2.5 years of steadfast refusal, and I'm going to go ahead and get the poison dart shot. Why? Because I'm afraid of COVID? No, but because I don't want to get into a car accident. I freaked some people out with that one. Look at my Facebook responses. Linda writes, I was working in the kitchen when I heard what you were saying, and I went in the other room to hear you better, and I started praying. And I even yelled out loud, no, don't do it. I thought maybe you had to do it for some medical reason or something. And then you said why. And I hope you are kidding. Please don't ever do that, no matter what, Bob, of all people. Not you. We need you. Linda, I am so sorry to freak you out. You don't know what the hell we're talking about right now. The American Journal of Medicine has published a Canadian article, a Canadian study, a research study, that shows that unvaccinated people have a 72% more chance of getting into a serious traffic accident that involves hospitalization than vaccinated people do. You heard that right. This is what they are publishing in the American Journal of Medicine. So, I'm not afraid of the virus. I'm not afraid of any of that. But, boy, oh, boy, I don't feel like wrecking my brand-new truck. So, because I don't want to get into an accident, I'll go ahead and take the jab. 216-901-0945-888-281-1110. Either one of those numbers gets you in. I want to go to the phones now and welcome our good friend John Stover from Ohio Value Voters on with us. John and I were chatting a little bit yesterday in the wake of some late night voting that was done at the Ohio State House on issues like Senate Bill 178, which of course would have stripped all of the powers away from the Ohio Board of Education with respect to curricula and more. And also the Shea resolution, which was ultimately passed by the board before that actual 178 vote happened. So there's a lot that's going on there, and John has offered us a look at the inside politics of it all. John Stover, good morning. Merry Christmas once again. How are you, sir?
Good, Bob. How are you doing? Merry Christmas to you and to all your listeners. You know, before we begin, Bob, I have to tell you that whenever you came on the top of the hour, I should say at the beginning of your program, and said you had a major announcement, I thought, you know, Bob is going to run 2024 against Sherrod Brown. And I'm thinking, man, this is fantastic. And then you started talking about the jab, and I'm thinking, oh, no, he's going to change his program name to Always Left. And then on top of that, I'm thinking, yes, you kept going. And before I really knew that you were joking, I thought, oh, boy, I'm going to have to give Peter Kirstenow a call, a mutual friend of ours, along with some others, and we're going to have to get you in some type of detox program because Bob's been drinking the Kool-Aid.
Well, I'm glad it worked. If I can pull somebody like you with your wisdom and knowledge in like that, then it means I played it pretty well. By the way, the other ones that you just suggested would be good for April 1st, and I will keep those in mind. Changing the name of the program to Always Left, that would have been a better time for that rather than the Christmas season. But real quick before we start talking about the Ohio politics, John, is that not... you're not a doctor, I'm not a doctor. You're not a researcher, I'm not a researcher. The Canadian people found what the Canadian doctors found. Then they published it in the American Journal of Medicine. But can you believe that This is what they're stooping to get more and more and more of the population jabbed. You're going to get into a car accident more likely if you don't take this, if you don't take this thing. I mean, I thought I'd heard it all, John, but apparently there's still more to come.
Bob, it's just unbelievable. You know, they always talk about follow the science, follow the science. I mean, you know, the next thing that we're going to hear is that, you know, the probability of being hit by a falling meteorite is going to be, you know, an issue if you don't get the jab. I mean, it's a case where the not only the Canadian government, but the U.S. government, you know, they are doing everything they can, whether it's in the military and, you know, we know some fine people, you know, that was dismissed from the military because they would not get the jab. But anyway, I agree. It's just unbelievable.
Well, John, so let's talk a little bit about what's going on here. There's been a lot of discussion about, you know, it's weird. As much as I despise Governor Mike DeWine for a lot of reasons, some people are calling this a power grab of his, the attempt to take the control of Ohio schools away from the Board of Education and the state superintendent and put it in the unelected hands of a cabinet member, a cabinet-level position appointed by DeWine. They're calling it a power grab by DeWine, but I've had multiple sources tell me DeWine didn't come up with this. This wasn't his idea. He didn't tell anybody in the Senate to do this so that he could do it. It was brought to him, and he said, okay, I'm in. But this isn't a DeWine power grab, but at the end of the day, I think a lot of us were afraid of what Mike DeWine would do with it.
You know, Bob, I would say this. You know, I'm, as I've heard you state in the past, you know, torn between the two. I mean, we do have a dysfunctional board, except for roughly 4 to 5 members. You mentioned John Hagan earlier. He's one of them, and there's roughly 4 others. You know, I would say this. You know, back, just a real quick story, back in March, April of last year, you know, my wife and I, we had an opportunity to travel to Lima, Ohio, sat down with the president of the Senate, Matt Huffman, and we were talking about education, had a good lunch for a good hour and a half. And, you know, he basically said this, and I couldn't agree with him more. He said, you know, he said the State Board, Department of Education, the only power they have is the power that the General Assembly and the legislature gives them. Well, you know, Bob, the same thing applies to the governor. And this is why I felt, you know, that same law, whatever the General Assembly decides to put in place also applies to the administration and the governor. So it's important that Senate Bill 178, that's why I was opposed to even considering it, because there was not enough time here. This was such an important piece of legislation to get passed, but yet it sat in committee for 18 months. Nothing was done with it. So,
and the size of it, too, John, was pretty solid.
2,100 pages. 2,100 pages. It was just ridiculous to think that, you know, somebody was going to. I mean, you know, I was waiting for somebody on the Republican side, whether House or Senate, say, well, you know, as Nancy had, you know, we got to pass it to find out what's in it.
To see what's in it.
Yeah, so. Excuse me, Bob. But yeah, that was the big issue that that I had. We need to make sure that we put specific swim lanes in place for the governor when it comes to giving him this power. I like the idea that the buck stops, as Harry Truman said, when his president stops at his desk. I'm a little concerned with how people will be able to address their grievances. Right now, all of the state board meetings are televised. People can go in whenever they hold a meeting, and they get their 3 to 5 minutes to speak. How is that going to be handled with the governor? So there's so many details that must be worked out, as far as I'm concerned, before I could, you know, actually get on board with this this legislation. And then to see, you know, I mean, the only thing we didn't find out was that the Monty Hall was standing on the House floor, you know, let's make a deal, whenever they were attempting to get this passed. Mm-hmm. You know, I was joking around with one state rep yesterday. I said, you know, it almost looked like the House leadership, and Bob Cupp, House Speaker, was, you know, had the members sitting there hoping some would fall asleep and they wouldn't know whether they should be voting yay or nay.
You know, it is kind of interesting that they did it that way, you know, with the all-nighter that they pulled on this. And I have to admit, I look at some of those things and I kind of, with a jaded eye, I suppose, I wonder if they're not literally trying to you know, make something happen that people aren't quite fully aware of. It's kind of like a news drop on a Friday. People aren't paying attention over the weekend. You just wonder how much everybody was going to be able to pay attention overnight here. So let me ask you about the ramifications of this now. Now the board keeps its power. It is a very left-wing board by election on the 11 members. It is a very left-wing board by appointment of Mike DeWine as well. In fact, I've talked to a lot of people about this. Mike Toll, who, of course, was instrumental in the Shea resolution by amending it and making it passable. He's not going to get a reappointment by Mike DeWine, even though he has asked for one. The left-wingers that have asked for reappointments are getting it. So, now that this particular DEW, this, you know, Department of Education Workforce Cabinet level position is done, the power rests with the board. Are we in decent hands, John? Or how can you're not only are you a high value voters, you also protect Ohio children. You know exactly what we're dealing with in the schools.
Yes. Well, you know, Bob, you raise a excellent point. I had a legislator tell me once again yesterday that during the discussion on Senate Bill 178 on the House floor, that came up. There was a conservative group, and we have a couple of additional conservatives that were just elected this past November. Beth Lear, Thad Claggett, I'm looking forward to Derek Marin becoming the speaker. I think we're going to see a different sheriff in town than what we've had in Bob Cupp. But that was one of the things that the some of the legislators brought up, the conservative ones, whenever they were looking to be influenced to, you know, vote for 178. They said, well, wait a minute. You know, how in the world can we trust, you know, the governor with making the appointments that are associated with the passage of this bill when he couldn't even appoint a conservative that was Mike Toll? Couldn't reappoint him. You know, so that is an issue. And then when it comes to, you know, the makeup of the board, I couldn't agree more. I mean, the governor has eight appointees. You know, and he has failed to actually weigh in. These appointees serve at the pleasure of the governor, and he has failed to weigh in on any issue that I'm aware of whereby he has come out publicly and stated, I'm urging those eight that I appoint to vote the following way. And Title IX was an extremely easy one to get behind. I mean, who in their right mind thinks that we should, you know, look to have biological boys and girls' spaces in the athletics as well, and it's just unbelievable that the governor, you know, just has not taken these type of positions that he needs to.
Yeah, I completely agree. We're talking to John Stover, Ohio Value Voters and Protect Ohio Children. You know, the one thing they did that was interesting, obviously, is, you know, folded in the other measures that have been sitting there that should pass in standalone form, in my opinion. And we're talking about the ones that ban discrimination on college campuses against the unvaccinated. I think one of them made it easier for homeschooling. It relieved some of the regulations as far as that. Those things ought to be passed anyway. And, you know, it's funny how they just let them sit there until they need them to maybe sweeten the deal a little bit on a more controversial piece of legislation. That's the kind of thing that bothers me. When you have your conversations with the likes of Matt Huffman and Bob Cupp, do you ever talk about that stuff? Why can't they bring those things to House votes, or floor votes, rather, in both chambers, and get those things done on their own?
You know, that's something that is discussed with a number of the members, especially in the House. You know, I can recall last year in June, Save Women's Sports Act, Bob, was a bill that was passed by the House, headed over to the Senate. The Senate basically was going to take action on it, communicating with the governor's office. The governor said, look, I'm not in support of saving women's sports, keeping biological boys out of the girls' spaces, locker rooms, showers, et cetera. He felt that the Ohio High School Athletic Association needed to address it, so the bill went nowhere. And, you know, this is the problem that we've had. You know, we do not have a governor that's acted in the same fashion as Ron DeSantis of Florida when it comes to education. Governor, at any point in time, could request a bill such as Save Women's Sports Act. I mean, another good bill, Bob, that you were making reference to earlier about the you know, surgery that many would like to perform on the gender dysphoria when it comes to children. you know, Save Women's Sports Act. There's a fantastic bill by Representative Click that's been sitting there a while. House Bill 454. It's called the SAFE Act, Save Adolescents from Experimentation. And that's another very easy bill to pass that should have been passed. But you know, we have a governor that will not act. And these are the type of issues that I have when it comes to looking at turning it over to the governor. Could it potentially work? Possibly. But it has to be a very, very strict bill that's going to, you know, put a bridle on the governor and, you know, his appointees to make sure that we're protecting the rights of parents and the rights of children in the state of Ohio.
Yeah, you know, John, there's a lot of things that I want to say that I sometimes don't say out of respect for the members, for the legislators. But, you know, I had Andrew Brenner on Monday, and then I had him on our podcast talking smack with Jack Windsor and myself. And that Save Women Sports Act is sitting in his committee. He's the one, from what I understand, he's the one who could get that put on the, you know, talk to Bob Cupp and get that out there and pass it out of his committee and put it for a House vote. And it's still sitting there. And he's one who wanted us to pass 178. And I respectfully listened. Like I said, I was on the fence over it. You know that. He made some very strong points. He said, look, what if we don't pass this? Well, same question I asked you a few minutes ago. What do we do now with this board? But out of respect, I didn't ask it the way I'm going to ask it right now, is what the hell is he waiting for? What the hell are these supposed conservative legislators waiting for when they've got bills like that sitting in committee that could get passed out and made the law of the land? What are we waiting for? And part of me wonders if they're not waiting for it just to use it as a bargaining chip when they need it for, you know, a sweetener and another deal like they tried on this one.
Well, you know, Bob, that's a good point. Here's my thought. And I had spoken to a state senator roughly a year ago, and in my conversation with him prior to the election for governor, you know, the big concern that many Republicans had was that, you know, I would put him in the RINO classifications, that they didn't want to do anything that was going to upend and rock the boat as far as DeWine's election. Well, you know, there are some benefits to the fact that the governor is during, you know, right now he's going to be in a lame duck session here for 4 years beginning in January. I'm hopeful. I have to say, though, I'm not holding my breath, but I'm hopeful that we can find the courage and leadership of not only the House, which I think is going to be there with Speaker Merrin, but also with the Senate to basically look at the fact they have the supermajority. And they start moving these bills over to his desk, and they say, look, Governor, you have it. You want to veto it. We're going to get the votes necessary to override your veto.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Speaker Merrin. Do me a favor, next time you happen to encounter him, tell him we're looking for him. My team has been trying to reach out to him ever since it was announced that he's going to be the next speaker so we can talk to him. I hear great, great things all the time, but we have had no luck whatsoever in reaching. So if you help us get him on the radio, we can talk more about the agenda in 2023. John Stover, I know you're going to be a big part of influencing that with Ohio Value Voters and Protect Ohio Children. So thanks so much for the great work that you do, John. And once again, if we don't talk before the day, Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, thank you, Bob. Merry Christmas to you and your listeners. Yeah. And Bob, yeah. Please don't even think about always left. Please don't do that.
Well, we'll see what happens in April. We'll see what happens then. Thank you, John. There's John Stover, Ohio Value Voters, Protect Ohio Children. Derek Merrin, if anybody has an opportunity to encounter the incoming speaker in the Ohio House, we'd love to talk. It's been way too long. We have not had any luck whatsoever in making that happen. That's got to happen sooner than later so we can talk about the agenda in the year to come. 1026, Always Right Radio, coming right back on AM 1420, The Answer.
The Answer.
Oh, yes, indeed. 10:38 now as we continue on Always Right Radio. I told you I'm just having fun with the soundboard today, and in that light. What do you say we jam out a little bit here?
Girls grow up to be the mommies. Boys grow up to be the daddies. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine.
Fred Rogers, straight out of Latrobe, PA. Fred Rogers in the house.
You know, everybody's fancy. You.
Me.
Born a boy, you stay a boy. Everybody's fancy. You.
Me.
Everybody's fancy.
Everybody's fine.
Your body's fancy, and so is mine. Boys are boys from the beginning. Girls are girls right from the start.
Now only boys can be men, only girls can be ladies. Just like the leather trim in the back of my fans. When you're cruising down the street and it happens again. When you know she's a Bobby but she thinks she's a Ken. When you're out on the green, watch your ass on the caddies. Only girls can be mamas, only boys can be daddies. Now you're in LA, in the streets, it's the Dodgers. But when you're in the hood, it's my boy, Mr. Rogers.
Everybody's fancy.
You.
Me.
Everybody's fancy.
Everybody's fine.
Your body's fancy and so is mine. Some are fancy on the outside.
Me.
Some are fancy on the inside.
Me. Everybody's fancy. Everybody's fine.
Your body's fancy and so is mine.
Born a boy, you stay a boy.
Girls are girls right from the start.
Pastor Mark Robinson, speak from the heart.
Ain't but true gender. True gender. Ain't nothing but men and women.
Everybody's fancy. Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy and so is mine.
You.
Me.
Yeah, Fred Rogers in the house.
Everybody's fine.
Tell it like it is.
You.
Me.
Featuring Pastor Mark Robinson.
Hey, but who cares?
Featuring your boy Johnny Hyde. By way of Bob France. WHK, take us home.
There's a song called Everybody's Fancy that I sing. Everybody's fine.
Johnny Hiles laying down the rap. Mr. Rogers everybody providing us the OG work. Pastor Mark doing his thing as well.
I gotta tell you,
I feel like an idiot sitting in my own studio by myself, just swaying and seat dancing like you have no idea. I said it before, I'll say it again. If you aren't seat dancing in your car or wherever you are right now when that is playing, you and I can never be friends. That's just being honest with you right now. You have to be moving when you hear that, or you also have to be loving every second of it, or we cannot be friends. You also have to believe every word in it from Mr. Rogers, and Mr. Robinson. Oh my gosh, I just realized something. Hey, Johnny?
Yeah.
You do remember Saturday Night Live with Eddie Murphy doing Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, right?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood was a play on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. You just blended Mr. Rogers and Pastor Mark Robinson, so we've got to find a way to work in Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood there.
But two genders.
There he is. That's him.
Two genders. Ain't nothing but men and women.
Oh, this is just too much fun. I love Fridays. 10:41 now. Let's bring in our regular Friday guest at this time. Hopefully she was moving in her seat because I really want to be her friend. She is Christina Hagen, former Ohio State Representative, currently sits on the Ohio Elections Commission. Christina, I need the truth now. Were you moving when you were hearing the song?
Bob, I've got to admit, you took me from a state of ticked offedness, if that is appropriate verbiage, to smiling from ear to ear. I am driving down the road and 7 months pregnant, so I move as much as a woman can move in that state. But yeah, we are definitely friends, no doubt about it. And it's, you know, it's amazing just even hearing Mr. Rogers, who we all loved and adored growing up because of his great strides to connect community, to make us value each other, love one another, was one of the first TV shows to really bridge the gap on racism.
Yeah.
And yet we have a White House that says, if you do not agree with what they're forcing down your throat on this Equality Marriage Act, as they call it, then you are racist, you are anti-Semitic, you are transphobic, you are every insult that they can throw under the moon. You might just have value, but that's not good enough. They need to attack you to your core. So Mr. Rogers would never make it today.
No, not at all. And by the way, I love the image of you and your baby in the car jamming out to that song. Next time I play it, I want you to crank the volume up loud enough to make sure your baby is moving too. I want you getting kicked and jammed by your baby listening to the rhyme as we celebrate Mr. Rogers and the messaging. That's fun stuff, Christina. I can't believe it's been 7 months already, by the way. I swear, I feel like you just made your announcement that you're expecting your fourth child. It's 7 months already. Congratulations. Obviously, continued good health to you and your baby, and that is just wonderful. Okay, you started by saying, I turned you from ticked offedness to smiling ear to ear. What were you ticked off about?
Yeah, you know, generally, culture is, I think, disturbing for most people who have any values at all. I think about what's happening in our White House, what's being promoted in our White House, the sham press conferences they're holding to suggest that they're giving permission to people, to Americans, to love one another, when the reality is they're creating a freak show parade distraction from real problems in the world, like China, creating trade deals with Saudi Arabia, with Putin threatening nuclear war, and instead they're having pedophiles invited to our White House. I mean, this is not even ludicrous. I mean, this is a direct attack on Americans. This is, hey, look over here while we hand our safety and security over to our arch enemy. It's disturbing. So I appreciate being able to smile when raising parents in this feels like you're raising children. I wish we could raise parents too, but raising children in this feels like you're constantly at war just for your children's safeguarding of their soul and their well-being and their identity, because their identity is constantly under attack from these weirdos that the White House parades around left and right, the people that they invite there to put on display as normal, which is the furthest thing from normal, the level of exploitation that we're seeing in mental illness. I mean, this is a disturbing state to be living and raising kids. I was this morning decorating for a Barbie birthday party and thinking, you know, I grabbed some boy stuff, some Hot Wheels stuff, some skateboard stuff, some things for the guys that they wouldn't be totally creeped out, but I don't know that they even will be in this state of everything goes, mix it all, and have no boundaries, no lines whatsoever.
Yeah. You know what? I'm joining you in that state of ticked offedness for all of the reasons. And, you know, when you listed some of the things that Biden said. I played the clip. I'm not going to play it again, of where he basically said, if you don't agree, first of all, he was there to, quote unquote, celebrate the signing of something that didn't need to be signed because it was already law. This was simply done for a distraction.
Right.
We talked about this. Distraction from the border, distraction from the cost of inflation at Christmas time, or the rise in prices, distraction from the rising crime rates and everything else. So we have to have something to take the eyes of the people off of this, those things. So they hold this ridiculous ceremony that is unnecessary because same-sex marriage was legalized by the Supreme Court more than 10 years ago. So what did they do now? Did they make it double legal? I didn't know that was a thing. So the fact that they had this at all was enough to make me ticked off. But then to move it from same-sex marriage and our celebration of something that was already legal to, you better accept
castrating children.
The castration. Right. That's right. The chemical castration or the physical mutilation, cutting off healthy organs off of boys and girls while they're in their preformative brain stages, unable to make decisions that are going to impact them for the rest of their lives. If you don't accept that, you are not only a transphobe, you are, as you just listed, a homophobe, a sexist, and a racist, and an anti-Semite, because, quote, they're all connected. Christina, I hear that coming from my president, the president of my country, who said he was going to come in after the very divisive Orange Man Bad and be the unifier, and it just makes me want to just, you know, jam ice picks into my ears. I cannot believe I'm getting that from Joe Biden.
Yeah, I know people of all walks of life, Bob, that are not okay with puberty blocking children, with promoting puberty blockers for children, for removing young girls' breasts, for allowing these Frankenstein surgeries to transpire in our states. And, you know, he said he's going to go on attack on these hundreds of extreme conservative laws. There's nothing extreme or conservative about sustaining a child's identity and not allowing them to be preyed on and exploited by an industry that wishes to profit off of their demise. And again, you know, the chemical castration, I mean, this issue of fertility is real. The government wants to be the mom, the dad, and they also want to handle producing your baby. I mean, this stuff that's going on in Germany with this dystopian production of children in a factory, babies in artificial wombs. I mean, feminists should be roaring. If feminists exist, if they truly believe in anything, then they ought to take back their womb at the very least and protect the children that they are able to bear from it, because the government is making sure of it, that you will not be able to produce children on your own. Testosterone rates through the last three decades have plummeted. We need to start asking serious questions. Are we going to be the next China? Are we going to even have the ability to choose how many children we have? Or will we be checking in with the government to see when they'll allow us to produce a child in a bubble and give them finances to do so? We're in a really weird, freakish place that everybody needs to be praying over.
We are indeed, and we must indeed. You're right. We need to pray over it. Christina, let me squeeze one more in here, because it's certainly right in your wheelhouse right now, 7 months pregnant. I'm going to let you tell the story. I read it, too. I didn't read it thoroughly because I was just so mortified by it. You know, a lot of us are worried about and talking about the danger and the threat of transhumanism and the merging of, you know, technology essentially with the human body and trying to create something that is more than human, that is, you know, techno-human, transhuman. Now they want to use technology to conceive and gestate humans. Artificial womb facilities. This is a thing. They want to grow a baby not inside a mother, but inside an artificial, technologically created womb. I'm just going to give you some free rein here to talk about that.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, you know, I saw this. I came across this yesterday, this study, this data being exposed that this is a real thing. And, I mean, this is the kind of stuff you see in horror movies.
Yeah.
To think that they want to, and they will inevitably exploit people that have maternal issues, which we could argue are state or pharmaceutical produced through the years, through the decades, that they have made women infertile. We didn't hear about these problems 2, 3, 4 decades ago. Our parents and grandparents were having 4 and 6 and 8 kids. Hey, heck, a family of 12 was not unusual for our grandparents' generation. And now women in their 20s are struggling to conceive one child. Something is going on. And now they are providing the government-ran solution, which is to grow your baby in a technological bubble. And they will exploit Americans for this. They will exploit all people. But this is supposed to be a solution to the lack of population. So I started reading this, and I almost had to take a step back and go directly into prayer. We obviously are under attack. The family unit is under attack. Women's fertility, men's masculinity, their ability to even produce testosterone or what it takes to conceive a child is under attack, and they have the proposed solution. And I think everybody needs to press pause and press halt on this immediately and not allow for it to move forward in the United States of America. This is ungodly. They're trying to play God. They want the government and they want the medical industry to be God over your life. And if you want a child, they want you to receive that child from them. And I don't know what could be more disturbing than this process.
Well, I do. You left out some of the details that I think are worse than what you just described. Not only can you, and are they experimenting with raising these babies in these technological bubbles, you can custom order your baby.
That's right.
According to the company.
Also their genetics.
Yeah. According to the company, which is called Ectolife, the concept offers parents the ability to produce customized babies with the help of these artificial wombs. If you are wealthy enough to afford an, quote, elite package, you would be able to choose your baby's level of intelligence, height, hair color, eye color, physical strength, and even customized skin tone. These wouldn't be babies. These wouldn't be human babies, would they? I mean, I DNA-wise, genetically, I suppose they would be. They're going to be taken you know, from sperm and egg in the same way or in a similar way to surrogate implantation is now into human, you know, mothers who are providing wombs for women who can't carry babies, all these kinds of things that happen. But technically it's a human, but if they're doing all of this genetic modification to it, I mean, we're literally talking about borderline cyborg life here, and people are okay with this. People seem to think that the advancement of science and technology should know no bounds. And of course, you know, I suppose 200 years ago, if you were to talk about some of the technology we have now, people would have flipped about and said, no way, not possible. And it's a good thing technology advanced the way it did because we have so many more life-saving things in our world and so forth. But goodness, there's got to be a line before playing, you know, between mankind advancing science and playing God, right?
One would hope. One would hope, but that is not the wish of the AI community. They want to assert any relationship you might have with a sovereign God, and they want to step into that space. And I don't know how many days we have left here, but I surely hope the Lord strikes them down.
I will join you in that hope, and I will join you in that prayer that there is something that stops, whether it's divine intervention or what it takes that something stops this this abomination of humanity in its tracks. Wow, crazy stuff. Christina Hagen, always a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much. It's great. Do we have one more before Christmas? Yeah, we do. We'll talk to you next week before Christmas, but I will wish you a Merry Christmas in advance anyway. Thank you, Christina.
You too. Thank you, Bob. God bless. Bye-bye.
10:54. We'll take a time out here and come back on Always Right Radio, AM 1420. Do you want to hear the poem? Let me do the poem before the break. Or before the top of the hour. 'Twas the night before Congress. I read it last night at the Ohioans Defending Freedom Christmas party, and people have been asking me to post it online. Maybe I'll just go ahead and do better than that. I'll read it. I'll read it to you live coming up next. Okay, it's 10:58. I'm not going to give you the 'Twas the Night Before Congress poem after all now because it's too close to the top of the hour, and I don't want to speed read it. I'll do it after the news. I just got a text message from our friend Dan Ramada, who is my co-leader for the Ohio Network of Citizens for Free Speech. He was listening to our conversation with Christina. This Ectolife artificial womb facility, they are promoting this also as a solution for two gay men to have a child. Which I won't speak to at the moment, other than to say that I firmly believe that a child needs not just two parents, but a mother and a father. That's why God made it that way. That's why God made literally the only way for two human beings to procreate is for one of them to be a biological male and one of them to be a biological female. And a child needs to be raised with all of the things that a mother can offer and needs to be raised with all of the things that only a father can offer. So I'm going to hold off on responding to that part of it, but it does stop and make you think, wow, how could this be any more of a bad idea? Creating babies in artificial wombs, ordering them with customized DNA and customized physical characteristics. I don't know when the end of the world will come, but I believe this will be a part of it when it does. 11 o'clock, news time now. Coming back on Always Right Radio, AM 1420, The Answer. Come on up. There were
moments in the night. This hour of Always Right Radio is brought to you by Keeping Medicare Simple and The Floor King.
You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools, and our honored dead who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance.
is Always Right Radio with Bob France on AM 1420, The Answer.
Oh, yeah. Hour number three underway on this Friday, the 16th morning of the 12th month of the year of our Lord 2022. What kind of a Friday is it? It's a free-for-all Friday! Yeah! 216-901-0945, 888-281-1110. Either one of the numbers gets you here. We've talked about a lot of dramatic stuff today. You want to hit on it? Hit on it. If you want to talk about something we haven't hit on, we can do that too. I promised you the poem. I will give you the poem in a few minutes going into the next break. I don't want to do it now because I want to get to some callers. But I will give you the poem if you don't know what I'm talking about. Last night, giving a speech at the Christmas party for Ohioans defending freedom. I don't know why I do stuff like this. It's just a weird thing. I sat down to write a few notes for a speech, and I found myself writing a poem. I did a takeoff of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. The stuff just comes to me sometimes. It's probably the only explanation as to why I have an English degree. I just sometimes do stuff like this. It came very, very quickly and very, very, superficially, I guess. I just started rhyming 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, but with my own lyrics, and I came up with 'Twas the Night Before Congress. So I read it last night. It was fairly well received, and people want me to post it online. They want me to post the words to the poem on my Facebook, on my Truth Social, or on my Twitter feed. And you know what? Okay, but I'll probably do it one better and just read you the damn thing. I'll do that for you coming up here in just a few. For now, let's go to the phones. 216-901-0945. AC in the CLE. AC, good morning. Go right ahead.
Yes, Bob.
Yes, AC.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I was just emphasizing. Okay. AC, I got you. Go ahead, buddy.
All right, good. I got two things.
Okay.
References to the Bible concerning Trump's video on the Superman and what followed. Okay?
Okay. If you found Bible reference to Super Trump on his NFT release of his Trump digital playing cards or trading cards, I got to hear this. Go ahead.
Well, you'll find this interesting. First of all, Proverbs 27, verse 2, from the old Jewish king Solomon, said this: "Let another man praise thee." And the problem I have with Trump in a Superman outfit is, what is he doing? He's praising himself as the Superman. Okay?
All right.
That's the first thing.
Okay.
Now, if you remember, you may have been heard of a character from the Old Testament named Samson. Okay?
Sure.
And Samson had the anointing of God. God raised him up and gave great advantage to Samson over his enemies. Okay? But Samson got hooked up with somebody named Delilah.
Uh-huh.
And Delilah wasn't his friend. She was a Philistine, and she was trying to tear Samson down so his enemies would overtake him.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept asking Samson, "What is the source of your strength?" And Samson got cocky. He got arrogant. And he kept toying with her, and he kept telling her, "Well, it's this or it's that." And he kept lying to her and mocking her efforts to find out. Well, eventually she wore him down, Bob, and he told her that the source of his strength was the locks of his hair that he wasn't to cut, okay, because he was a Nazirite Israeli.
Okay.
Okay. You know, okay. Nazirite Jew. Now,
let's pick up the pace here just a little bit, AC. I got to get where you're going with
sure.
this. Okay.
What Trump did was, he is like Samson, and he's toying with the advantage he has over his enemies. And he better be careful, because it's going to cost him. And I'm just concerned for him. And he shouldn't be doing this. He shouldn't be comparing himself to Superman. That's the wrong message.
Okay.
It's not going to be good for him.
Well, here's my response, my friend, and thank you for the biblical lesson there too. I appreciate that, AC. God bless. Merry Christmas, friend. I'll say this. I don't know that he was necessarily trying to portray himself as Superman for the purpose of anything like you're talking about, such as self-worship. I think it was a way to make money. Okay? If you look at the major announcement that he teased with his Superman video of Trump, Super Trump, then they made the major announcement, which was the Super Trump character, along with the Cowboy Trump character, along with the Army guy character. I mean, it was a whole bunch of different professions where he was Trump doing these things, and he's selling these cards for $99 a piece. The guy is a brilliant salesman. The guy is a brilliant businessman. He is an entrepreneur. There's a reason he is what he is, how successful he has been. This was a huge, massive way to draw attention to and market an NFT that he released that he's going to try to make money off of, and that's the sale of these digital cards. You don't even get an actual card. You get a certificate saying you have one of the digital cards, which is pretty incredible. And then he raffles off with each of the cards. Somebody who buys one is going to have a dinner with Trump. Somebody else gets a Zoom call with Trump. Somebody else gets a, you know, personal thing. So to me, this was a money-making venture and nothing more. This is Donald Trump trying to raise a ton of money, $100 per digital card. He had, you know, almost 80 million voters last time around. There's probably going to be a significant number of millions of voters who are going to say, I love my guy, and I'm buying one of those. I think he did this to make money. The problem is he embarrassed himself in the process because he made this major announcement and had half the country or more saying, what's the major announcement? Is he going to name a VP? Is it going to be Carrie Lake? Is he going to name his VP? Somebody said because of the Superman reference, it's going to be Dean Cain, who is a popular-ish, you know, conservative celebrity-ish. Everybody's wondering what's the major announcement going to be, and then he comes out here and says the major announcement is, look at my Trump trading cards. I'll sell you one for $99. Whoa. Looked bad. Sounded bad. Came off bad. So bad that he then had to try to clean the mess up by posting on Truth Social a short video in which he says, you know, I really like free speech a lot. And, you know, when I'm president again, we're going to do a lot of really cool free speech stuff. We're going to fire people who, you know, censored speech. I mean, it was just bizarre, to say the least. It's a 7-minute speech in which he just comes on there and says, look at this. And then his supporters and sycophants say, we see he didn't mean that the Super Guy cards were the major announcement. This was his major announcement. He likes free speech. Stop. I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Stop. It's embarrassing for all of us. It's embarrassing for him. Literally on his announcement of the Super Trump trading cards, Trump digital trading cards, his words in all caps are, major announcement. That was his major announcement. But it's just that it fell so flat, and it was such an embarrassment, he had to do something else. So he comes up with the video and says, look, I'm not just being a cartoon clown. I'm a serious guy, too. Look at me. I like free speech. And then people could say, that was the major announcement. Just stop. If you follow Trump on Truth Social, you'll see what I'm staring on my screen right now. Wednesday, the Trump promo of a major announcement featuring the Super Trump character. Then the next day, yesterday, the major announcement. Quote, major announcement. My official Donald Trump digital trading card collection is here. And then, a few hours later, to perhaps take some of the sting away from the embarrassment of the card launch, he says, by the way, I love free speech. Everybody pay attention to this, not the other stuff. So, it's just a bad look. That's all it is. Bad look. Will is in Houston. That's my friend Will Power, who is in Houston on AM 1420. The Answer here in Cleveland. What's going on, brother?
Good morning, my brother, man. I love... what's a Free Talk Friday? I can talk about some of the strangest, most bizarre buffoonery that's in the world today.
Lay it on me.
Brain teaser for you. So we know that this gender fluid, non-binary freak called Sam Britton was arrested for stealing luggage, right? And so I was sitting here thinking, I'm like, okay, well, if this supposedly non-binary, supposedly non-gender fluid individual is if he gets prosecuted and goes to jail, what jail does he go to? A male jail? A female jail? Does he go to a male jail on Monday and then decide, well, no, I'm a woman today. I want to go to the women's jail on Tuesday. Does it fluctuate back and forth? And does he have
it
a
better,
case?
It better, or else the jailers are going to be called transphobes.
I was about to get to that part. I was Sorry. Just about to get there. So Sorry. What happens if he – does he have a case because of this stupid, stupid backward society that we live in now? Does he have a case if he wants to, protest to the news agencies? They're infringing on my rights, you know, by having me in this man's jail. Even though Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I was a man, but Tuesday and Thursday, I'm a female, so they're infringing on my rights. You see how stupid it is? When you really stop and think about it, this whole fluid, gender fluidity.
It is every bit of that. You're 100% right, my friend, and that's, you know, I don't want to sit here and just blanket everything, but, I mean, that's how you know this entire movement is crap, because people can make stuff up. Look at the videos of people saying, look, on some days I'm Z-Zare, and other days I'm Fee-Fair, and other days I'm feeling very different, and I'm they-them. And this is the same person saying, I'm changing as the wind blows, and if you don't acknowledge it, and celebrate it and participate in it, you're going to be ostracized as a transphobe.
I mean,
that's how you know this is just made up attention whoring crap.
You know, Bob, I understand, man. I'm fully aware because I have family members who have mental issues, and I have empathy. I guess that's the word for people with mental issues. My problem is when the media, social, and networks start validating this buffoonery.
Right.
So, no, man, stop. Please don't validate this. Don't make it a thing. You know, explain to, okay, we know you have problems. Go sit over in the corner somewhere. But you have people trying to twist themselves into pretzels to try to validate it. And so I'm just praying. I'm just hoping and praying that this dude, you know, raises a fuss, raises a stink. No, you cannot put me over there. Even though I was there last week, this week I'm a female, so you got to move me over there this week. I hope it happens, man.
I do, too. It would be hilarious if it does. But I'll tell you one thing I would disagree with, though, when you talk about these people who have mental problems. There is a difference between a mental illness, a psychological condition, and a personality. And I think some of these people are no more mentally ill than you or me. They just have a personality that says, look at me, stare at me, give me attention, pay, you know, and it's just, this is something, it's why some people dress a certain way, it's why some people act a certain way. It's a personality, and it's not even a personality disorder. It's just people with attention, you know, starving personalities, and they don't deserve special protections or special treatment because they have a personality that says, look at me, I'm different. I'm different than you because I say so, and I have different pronouns than you, and you will follow them. It doesn't make them mentally ill. It makes them just attention whores, and I don't suffer them lightly.
Amen, brother.
Hey, Will, I'll be talking to you live next week. You know that, right?
Oh, awesome.
All week. Tune in Houston. I'll be visiting with you. Okay, buddy? All right, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. All right, it's 11:22. I'm going to not cease, if you're on hold, stay there, but I'm going to pause the calls right now so that I can go ahead and deliver before the break what I've been promising. People have been asking, and so I'm going to go ahead and deliver. What am I if I am not a man of the people? And people are asking for the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas song or poem that I wrote yesterday in the afternoon while I was preparing for a speech yesterday evening with Ohioans defending freedom. So without further ado, Johnny, give us a little background music. "'Twas the night before Congress, and in the new people's house, the outgoing speaker was already soused. It's all over now, she belched in the air. She knew the conservatives soon would be there. The rest of the libs were all home in their beds, with nightmares of oversight filling their heads. What can we do? The old battle axe stammered. And Paul, what the hell did you do with my hammer? Drawn to her window by the sounds of disorder, holy crap, she explained, this looks worse than the border. She looked down at the crowd, with Jim Jordan in the middle. She spilled her tequila, and she peed just a little. Then she heard the new majority shout, hey Nancy, you lost! Now get the hell out! Now what do I do? She thought to herself. I think I'll call Fauci, the wise little elf. He'll make them all leave and do it this instant. They're not wearing masks and not socially distant. They can't run the Congress without learning compliance, and no one can teach it like good Dr. Science. And grabbing her phone to dial him right quick, her smile erased when she learned he was sick. I'm sorry, Nancy, but my throat is so sore. I've been jabbed 13 times, but it should have been more. You got COVID again? She asked, more than just irked. How can that be? You said the shots worked. Why did you lie? You're the science advisor. Did you see the check they gave me at Pfizer? Never mind, screamed the hypocrite, slamming the phone. I'll deal with these righties all on my own. Her foul breath filled the air as she started to think. I know what to do. I just need more to drink. More rapid than eagles, her bottles they came, and she spit through her dentures as she called them by name. Now Captain, now Jaeger, now Daniels and Crown, on Tito's, on Smirnoff, and she drank them all down. Now bring that stuff on, she said to herself, reaching in vain for the top liquor shelf, when all of a sudden, a firm knock at her door. The new speaker was here, more bold than before. He was dressed to the nines from his head to his toe. Hey, Nancy, for real, it's time you should go. A bag of subpoenas he had flung on his back, and he smiled like Hunter with a new bag of crack. His eyes how they twinkled, his mouth how it grinned. Call an Uber, he told her. You're stinking of gin. But please, she said, what about the nation? I still have some plans to double inflation. Don't worry, he said. There's nothing to fear. We've got this thing now. We'll take it from here. And unpacking the laptop from Joe Biden's son, the new speaker told Nancy it's going to be fun. And the border, the crime rate, the oil and gas, all the stuff you guys broke, we'll shove up your... Ask not what will happen when we take the controls. Just know there's a plan to restore our lost souls. Our nation was great and will be once again, just as soon as you're all in a federal pen. Now hand us the gavel and head for that hall. I can't do that now till I get it from Paul. Then now hit the road, get out of our sight, so that we can say Merry Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Medicare Simple and the Floor King.
I'm sick of this stuff.
Sorry, Joe. What do you want me to do about it?
You know the thing.
Yeah. You don't. You don't. I can tell that. That's for sure. My advice to you, Mr. Biden, President Biden, is, and I think I can probably best use the words of Senator John Kennedy. In Louisiana. Where is it? Doggone it. I can't find it. I'm trying to buy myself time here to find it, and I can't. That's all right. Oh, yeah, there it is. Here's my
advice. You just got to try harder not to suck.
There you go. Thank you, Senator Kennedy. Steve is in Collinwood. Hey, Steve, you're on AM 1420 The Answer. Fire away, Steve.
Yeah, I thought I'd talk about Hanukkah because kicky ball is over, right?
Yes, the kicky ball tournament ended, I think. Yes. It never started for me, but I think it ended.
Yeah, we can all rest easy now.
Yes.
So it's all in the marketing, because it's the same way that Hanukkah is marketed, just like Christmas. You know, they market Christmas as it's really about the birth of your Savior, but they market it as an old guy named Saint Nicholas in a red suit. So the same thing with Hanukkah. A lot of people see it as. Like the Jewish Christmas, there's 8 days of gift giving and eating cakes and whatever that are, you know, specific to the holiday. And it's also known as the Festival of Lights because it's about a miracle that a small little vial of oil was able to keep the menorah going for 8 days in the Holy Temple. But the part that they don't market it was about a civil war, a very brutal civil war the Jews had among themselves. And the Judeans and Judah Maccabee, he led the revolt. He was outnumbered, and he had to fight against his own people who had preferred assimilation and abandoning God and defiling the temple. So it's a story about courage and freedom as much as it is about the miracle of the lights. And the Judeans were always known as the great warriors and heroes of Israel. And that's why even in your New Testament, Jesus is always referred to as the King of the Jews. They never refer to him as the King of the Israelites or the King of the Hebrews. So, that's what the story of Hanukkah is about.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love a story about courage and freedom, and the way you just described it is a phenomenal way to do it. I mean, I have always respected, of course, the celebration of Hanukkah for all of my Jewish friends, but that's a great story that you just told, and it's nice to know a little bit more of the origin like that, because it's not referred to very often. So. Well, I don't really, because I've got to get a few other people on before the bottom or the end of the show, my friend, but God bless you, happy Hanukkah, and thanks for sharing the story. I appreciate it. Let's go to Ted now, calling us, where's Taborville? Ted, where are you calling from?
Auburn Township.
Auburn Township. Okay, good. Yes, I like hearing new names that I haven't heard before, towns I haven't heard before. Fire away, my friend.
Bohemian Settlement. The RNC is wasting our money. Have you heard that story? Why is Trump trying to raise his own money? This is why the RNC wasted more money than putting it into the races in this last race. And it's crazy. We're giving them all kinds of money, the people are, and they're just wasting away on air flight and things that don't pertain to elections.
Well, I know that in the elections, one of the biggest controversies, and thank you for the call, my friend, is not necessarily not spending the money, but spending it in the wrong places. There were a lot of people who felt like they poured way too much into some races and completely starved candidates that could have won other winnable races in winnable districts. So on that, I think I agree. This, in my estimation, is a little bit different, though. Trump isn't asking for donations to his presidential campaign, which would be reasonable and normal and what people do. This is selling an NFT or starting an NFT, crypto, and trying to make money selling these ridiculous digital trading cards with pictures of him in cartoon garb and gibberish and all kinds of other nonsense, which I think is just for personal gain. I think it's just for personal money. That is, to my knowledge, and I can't swear to it. I always try to bring you straight truth as I know it. And if I don't know it, I'll admit that I don't know it. But I don't believe that this in any way is connected to Trump 2024. It doesn't say we're raising money for the campaign to take back the White House so that I can be president 47 in addition to having been president 45. This looks like just a straight up entrepreneurial venture by a businessman who just said, you know what, I'm selling these cards. It's a major announcement. I want you to buy them. $99 a piece. He'll make a mint. Now, whether he takes that money and turns it around and puts it in, self-funds his campaign, that's another story. That's another angle to it, like I said, that we don't know yet. But I can tell you this. It was great marketing because everybody paid attention. But it was bad politicking because when they saw what his quote-unquote major announcement was, people were mad and people laughed at it. And people said, what a clown show this is. That's not good for business, or rather for the campaign. That's just not. From a business standpoint, Donald Trump goes on social media and says, major announcement coming. This country needs a superhero. Major announcement coming Thursday, December 15th. And everybody's going, oh my gosh, what's this going to be? America needs a superhero. He's got a cartoon of himself as Super Trump. And he said there's a major announcement coming. And people are thinking about all kinds of possibilities and prospects. Some people are saying he's withdrawing from the race and he's going to run for speaker. He's withdrawing from the race. He's going to run, or he's going to endorse DeSantis, or he's announcing his vice presidential candidate. All these things were possibilities. Instead, he comes out with, here's my major announcement. Buy Trump digital trading cards. $99 a pop. Good for business. Everybody was paying attention. Everybody saw it. That's marketing. Bad for the campaign because people didn't like it. Not a little bit. And I'm one of them. Bad move. Like I said, I'll support Trump if he's our nominee, but man, he has got to get himself in the game because right now that's a bad move. That's all the time we've got today. Thanks to John Stover for coming on. Thanks to Christina Hagen for coming on. Thanks to Johnny for running our show. Thanks to Marianne. Thanks to Marcy, our entire team, and thanks to you for listening. Be well, be safe, stay free. See you Monday.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.